Still with it. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, primarily the first few verses, but I don't know where to stop in Hebrews 11. Tell me to read the whole chapter. Is that okay with you? Let's read the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they thought he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin, the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received as dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's stop at this point and ask for the Lord's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help me now, and I do my best to preach on this great subject of faith, this important topic, this great doctrine. And Lord, help me to do a good job expounding the Scriptures. Keep your hand on this meeting. And if there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray they'll get saved even today. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, one of the greatest words in the English language is the word faith. And it's a word we hear a lot and we use a lot, and sometimes we don't really understand the importance behind the word faith. Faith means reliance or trust. Faith is the guiding principle of the Christian life. A true biblical faith has God as its object. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Saving faith is faith which rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Webster's Dictionary defines faith as the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Matthew Henry gives a longer definition, quite interesting. Matthew Henry says, faith is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that he has promised to us, this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul a kind of possession and present fruition of those things. Gives them a subsistence in the soul by the first fruits and foretaste of them, so that believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. It's a lengthy definition, but a very good one. Now, faith has three aspects. And when I was thinking about teaching on these three aspects, or explaining these three aspects, I thought of the story of Philip and the eunuch. But I don't want to spend too much time with Philip and the eunuch, because I want to stick with Hebrews 11, if the Lord allows me to do that. But I wanted to say this. If you'll turn to Acts 8 for a moment, and keep your place in Hebrews 11, we will get back to Hebrews 11. But look at Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to point out the three aspects of faith. And I think you'll see what I'm getting at in a moment. We'll see these three aspects of faith illustrated in the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. First aspect is the intellectual aspect. this involves a factual and positive recognition of the truth of the gospel. All right, so the intellectual aspect involves a factual and a positive recognition of the truth of the gospel. What does Romans 10:17 say? So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is what we call a factual and positive recognition of the truth of the gospel. We hear the gospel, we hear the word of God, and we say, that's true. In fact, John 17 says, thy word is truth. So the intellectual aspect involves a factual and positive recognition of the truth of the gospel. Now, consider the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. In verse 30, Acts chapter 8, verse 30, Philip said to the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? Did you get that? Understandest thou? Understand what you're reading? There has to be an understanding. The intellectual aspect talks about understanding the Word of God. So faith has to have an intellectual aspect. In fact, some churches try to bypass that, and it's all very emotional, and they try to bypass or ignore the intellectual aspect. That's dangerous. You're not going to get somebody saved who doesn't really understand the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to understand all the deep things of God and all the various teachings of the Bible, but you have to fill the understand the gospel. So the intellectual aspect involves a factual and positive recognition of the truth of the gospel, and we see this very clearly in Acts chapter 8, verse 30, when Philip says to the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest. Next is the emotional aspect. I said some people get too caught up in emotionalism, but we shouldn't ignore the emotional aspect. We shouldn't overemphasize it and neglect the intellectual aspect. On the other hand, we can't ignore the emotional aspect. And the truth and the person of Christ are now seen in an interesting and absorbing way, as a quote from Charles Riley. The truth and the person of Christ are now seen in an interesting and absorbing way. And we see this in Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 34. Acts 8, 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus. And the heart is hungry now for knowing about Jesus. Now look quickly at Romans. You can place an act. Look at Romans chapter 10. And a very familiar scripture, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and what else? And shalt believe in thy heart. Some people believe in their head, but not their heart. You see. It's more than just an intellectual assent to certain facts. It's an emotional aspect as well. And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then Paul goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible talks about the heart as the seat of emotion. And the Bible says that thou shalt believe with all thy heart, thou may be saved. You see, the heart is very important here. He says, thou shalt believe in thy heart that thou shalt raise from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So there's the intellectual aspect, there's the emotional aspect, and finally, and very importantly, there's the volitional aspect. A man may believe that Jesus Christ is God and still not take that step of faith and say, I'm receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. He may believe certain things about Christ without receiving Christ. There's a volitional aspect. There may be an assent of the mind, but not a surrender of the heart. And you have to have both. I talk to people oftentimes that up here they understand, they believe, but they haven't given the heart to the Lord. There's not that volitional aspect. There's an assent of the mind, but not a surrender of the heart. To be genuinely saved, a man must place all his reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. He must depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. He must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we see this in Acts 8:36. Go back to Acts again. If you please, go back to Acts 8:36. And notice, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Well, look, that's the perfection of covenant. The eunuch said, "Listen." He said, "I believe with all my heart." Here we see the intellectual aspect, the emotional aspect, and the volitional aspect. Now this eunuch got saved. And in obedience to the Lord, he wants to be baptized. And we see in verse 38 that Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Of course, that means he baptized him by immersion. But I'm not here to talk about baptism right now. I'm trying to stress biblical faith, biblical conversion. So here we see the three aspects of safety: intellectual, emotional, and volitional. Now go back to Hebrews 11. You'll notice Hebrews 11 and verse 1 starts out with a definition of faith. We have here a biblical definition. I gave some other definitions. I gave a Webster's Dictionary definition. I gave a Matthew Henry definition. Hey, let's look at the Bible definition. Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here we have a good, simple definition of faith. Note the words in verse 1, not seen. Not seen. You know, I haven't seen God, but I believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
That's faith. I haven't been to heaven, but I believe in heaven. Amen? That's faith. I haven't been to hell, I don't want to go there. Amen? But I believe it exists, right? That's faith. You see, so that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. That is biblical faith. Paul says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Nothing. Now, J. Oswald Sanders said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. You got that? Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. That's what faith does. So we don't see heaven, we don't see God, but faith allows us, faith enables us to see the future as present and the invisible as seen. And by the way, this theme, you can trace this theme throughout Hebrews 11. And I'll try my best to point some of these things out. For example, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You see, Noah had faith. He was moving according to God's instructions. He was obeying God, but he was moved by faith. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What are some of the things not seen? He didn't even saw rain. God said it's going to rain. What's rain? No one believed. God said it's going to rain. No one said, okay, I believe you. God said it's going to rain. Not seen. He said it's going to be a worldwide flood. What's the worldwide flood? What's a flood? God said it's going to be a flood. He said it's going to be wrong. So Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he believed. God said it. I believe it. So the faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. So Noah was able to see it, so he has the faith. God called him and said, okay, believe it. It's going to be a flood. I'm going to build an ark. And because this world could have drowned in the water. And only those people on the ark, all those animals on the ark, are going to survive. Noah saw through the eyes of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, we see this theme all throughout the Bible, but especially here in Hebrews 11. How about verse 10? Abraham looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Did Abraham actually see that city? But through the eyes of faith, he saw it. He saw that city, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. He saw it through the eyes of faith. Abraham and Sarah, his wife, and others mentioned here, all died in faith. I'm reading from verse 13. All died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Wait a minute now. If they didn't receive the promises, how do they see them afar off? Through the eyes of faith. Through the eyes of faith. So, the definition of faith is we walk by faith, not by sight. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith enables us to see the future as if it's already here. And he said, what do you mean by that? Well, I believe Jesus Christ is coming back, amen? And as far as I'm concerned, he's coming back, I can see it coming. I believe it's going to be a tribulation period on this earth. I believe it's going to be a battle of Armageddon. I believe Christ is coming back to establish his kingdom. I believe in the new heaven and the new earth. Say, how do you know? It's in the Bible. And so I believe. Through faith. Through faith in God's word, you see. So, the Bible says they haven't received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That's verse 13. How about Moses? Moses turned his back on Egypt, and he could certainly see all the wonderful things in Egypt. Moses got a very good liberal arts education in Egypt. Oh yes, Moses was trained like he was Pharaoh's son. Moses was treated like a prince in Egypt. Moses lived very well in Egypt. He turned his back on all those things he could see and enjoy, all those creature comforts. He turned his back on that, the Bible says, and he followed God, I'm reading from verse 27 now, as seeing him who is invisible. You see that? Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27. By faith, the Bible says he forsook Egypt. Moses forsook Egypt. Verse 26 refers to the treasures of Egypt, the wealth of Egypt, all the privileges he enjoyed in Egypt. He cut his back on that. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So the Pharaoh was furious with Moses. Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses. And the Bible says he cut his back on Egypt, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, he saw him to the eyes of faith. He was walking by faith, not by sight. And so faith enabled Moses to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. You know, the world says seeing is believing. You've heard that before, right? Seeing is believing. You know, for the believer, it's believing is seeing. It's the opposite. They say seeing is believing. I say no. Believing is seeing. So we don't look at it the same way they do, you see. Now, evidence, go back to verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. We know what the substance is. Faith is the substance. Some people say the word is like a foundation. The Bible is our foundation. Our faith is built on the Bible. Faith is the substance of things so forth. So the evidence of things that seen. That word evidence means like conviction or proof. It's the conviction we have that these things are real, though we can't see them. It's the proof we have, though we can't see it. We believe it through faith. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. So that's the idea here. Evidence means conviction. That the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible says what it means what it says. The Bible is trustworthy in everything it affirms. The Bible is inerrant. That means without a mistake. The Bible is inspired. It's the very Word of God. God breathed. So I have a conviction that God is real. That the Bible is real. That heaven's real. That hell is real. And these convictions are based on the Bible. I have faith in the Bible. And I trust you do too, amen?
Amen.
Otherwise you wouldn't be here, right? I mean, why come to church if you don't believe the Bible? I can never figure out people who go to church but they don't believe the Bible. You know, there's some churches where the ministers that seem to believe the Bible?
That's a fact. I mean, some are quite bold in their statement, but they don't believe them all. You know what I say to them?
Get out of the ministry and get an honest job. If you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, you're nothing but a rascal, a religious racketeer, and a wolf of sheep's clothing. That's what I believe. You say, well, Pastor, why don't you say what you mean? You know, you could speak around the bush. Right? Now, I have a conviction that God is real. And that conviction is based on the Bible, God's holy word. Now, before going further, let me stress that faith is not based on feelings, but on fact. Too many people operate based on feelings. You pick it up right away when you talk to them. You pick it up when you listen to them. And you hear some of the things they make, the comments they make. Even some preachers, it's all feelings. We are not talking about feelings. We're talking about fact. Faith is based on fact. Say, what are the facts? The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is coming back. Those are some of the facts I'm talking about. Heaven is real. Hell is real. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Our faith is based on facts, not on feelings. Now, I'm not saying feelings are important. Praise God. When I got saved, I felt good, amen? In fact, I feel good whenever I see somebody else get saved. When I give an invitation and I see someone coming forward, I'll be out of it. I feel real good about that. And then when I ask somebody, like Brother Bill or somebody else on the day, lead this guy to the Lord, and, let have someone lead us to the Lord, and they come back afterwards and tell me, hey, he got saved today, or she got saved today. I feel good about that, amen? And I feel good when I see him get baptized. And I feel good when I see him go to church. And I feel good when I see him going to the Lord. I feel good when I come to church. I feel good when I sing to him. But what I'm trying to say is we're not going by our feelings. Feelings are important, but our faith is based on facts. A.T. Pearson said, feed faith with facts, not with feelings. So feelings aren't going to strengthen our faith, but facts will. And the Bible is a book of facts. So here we see a biblical definition of faith. Let me move on. Time is running by quickly. I want to state this. Faith pleases God. Okay? We know that what faith is all about now, I hope you know, I tried to define it as best I could. Now, let me go further and say, faith pleases God. Look at verse 5, Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated. That means he was taken up into heaven, just like that. And he was walking in the street one day, and God said, come here, Enoch. And boy, he was up in heaven like that. They never had a funeral for Enoch. There was no funeral service, there was no burial, no casket. Enoch never died. He was taken to glory land. You say, man, that's pretty wild. It's going to happen to Elijah. And you know that? You know what? There's going to be a generation alive when Christ comes back that's never going to die. I'm hoping I'm going to be among that number. If the rapture is going to take place and I'm going to the Holy Land, I'm not going to die. You say, well, what happens if you die before the rapture? Listen, I'll be having a good time then too, amen? And I'll be in heaven either way. I'll be happy either way. Whether I go up to heaven in death or go up to heaven in the rapture, I'm thrilled, amen? But I'm hoping that I'm going to be alive when Christ comes back. Aren't you? Sure. Even some of you older saints. The Lord can come back today. Amen? Don't feel sad. Don't say, well, I don't know about me. I might die before the rapture. You might go up too. Amen? Just Christ to come back today. He could come back this afternoon. He could come back before I finish this sermon. That'll be my last message. And I'll be glad you got the very last message Pastor Bob will preach if I'm at his church. Amen? Amen? So faith pleases God, and we're given an illustration of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He never died, and was not found. We were looking for him. Where's Enoch? Where did Enoch go? Hey, Enoch! 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 Give us credit. They couldn't find him. Why? He's up in heaven, amen? Enoch! You lost your credit. Enoch's up in heaven. Forget about looking at him. I look at glory there now. So they couldn't find him. And because God had translated him. Translated means he was translated over to heaven. Over to heaven. And so before his translation, before God took him, he had this testimony. What? That he pleased God. He Enoch was a man of God, and Enoch pleased God. And why did Enoch please God? Because of his faith. Because it's by faith Enoch was translated. God was pleased with Enoch's faith. And there's anything about you or me that pleases God is our faith. Amen? God is not so impressed with some of your other abilities and talents, but believe me, God is pleased with your faith. If you have faith, that pleases God. Look at verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Your faith pleases God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then it goes, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That word believe is important. See, the word faith is found 24 times in this chapter. And the word believe means the same thing. Is that word believe? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God? Do you want to know more about God? Do you want to draw closer to God? Do you want to be closer to God today than you were yesterday? Well, don't be quiet enough.
Amen.
Amen. That's not it. I mean, what? Am I in a church or am I in a mosque? Where am I? All right, hello? We're saved people here today. Is that right?
Amen.
Do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
He's aside for our sins. Well, we still don't want to say anything. All right, we'll go to heaven someday.
Amen.
Now, therefore, you want to please God, right?
Amen.
Right. And the way to please God is through faith. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, the Bible says. Now listen, if faith pleases God, then lack of faith must displease God, right?
Yes.
Is that clear?
Yes.
Faith pleases God, unbelief, it displeases God. Lack of faith, you lack faith sometimes, it displeases God. You say, well, I know the Bible says that, but it displeases God. No buts or bounds. The Bible says it. You better believe it. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says you're okay. Amen? Bible says you want to do it, right? Some people don't. This is where some people miss the boat. Now, let me kind of make this practical. I'm not even talking about unsaved people now. I'm talking about Christian people. You know Christian people can lack faith? Sure. Well, I know the Bible says that we should go out and win souls, but I'm uncomfortable doing what you lack faith. You think you make an excuse of that. I know the Bible says we should give to the Lord and be faithful with our tithes and offerings, but you know, I'm having a hard time making it. You lack faith. And I was like, yeah. I know the Bible says we should pray without ceasing, and the Bible says we should pray and we should have devotions, but I'm busy. See, you make an excuse of that. Well, it's good to be quiet around here. Am I getting through to some people here? Amen?
Yeah.
Alright, that's good. So, if we agree that faith pleases God, then certainly lack of faith must displease God. In fact, Romans 14, verse 23, Romans 14, 23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, when Christians do not believe God, they are sinning. When you don't believe God, you are sinning. What would have happened if Noah did not exercise faith and build the ark? What if Noah would have said, well, you know, you talk about rain, I never saw a raindrop. You talk about a big flood, I never saw a flood. You talk about the windows of heaven opening and all this water coming out, I never saw the windows of heaven. Are you talking about the whole world perishing? I had a hard time believing that. What if Noah would have thought like that? Hey, we might not be here today because we're all descended from Noah, right? That's right. Noah had a drought. Like, okay, Noah, you unbeliever. No, but Noah had faith. You see, so Noah believed. What if Noah didn't believe? It never rained before. Yet Noah started building his ark. And with the exception of his immediate family, all of Noah's neighbors, and all of the people were wicked sinners back then. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So, for all those years, when people were ridiculing Noah, and people were mocking Noah, Noah kept preaching. And Noah kept building his ark. He kept working. He kept preaching. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen. Noah was stepping out by faith. He didn't see it, but he believed God. He had faith. Not seen. The Bible says, yet, He saw it eventually. He saw the Lord coming down. He said, look, I was glad. I'm so glad I obeyed God. I'm so glad I believed God. When Noah heard those people banging on the side of the rock, he said, I'm glad I obeyed God. And I'm sure those people were thinking, why didn't we believe God? As the water started rising and they were all drowning, so many of them thought, we should have believed God. You know, there's a lot of people in hell right now saying, I should have believed God. People in hell forever thinking, why did I believe God? So the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He kept preaching. He kept building his ark. He was moved by faith. What about Moses? Why would Moses leave Egypt and go live on the backside of the desert for 40 years? Why would Moses give up the comforts of Egypt and then lead all those Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land? How did he by faith? Look at Hebrews 11:24. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, the reason why some people can suffer affliction with the people of God, and the reason some people can turn their back on the pleasures of sin, and by the way, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. The reason we can do that is through faith. And then verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he has respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hey, there is reward coming, amen? I believe that by faith. I haven't seen the reward, but I believe the Bible is going to be a reward. I believe the Bible when it says about the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that's a reward. And he says, in respect of his... Now, notice this, by the way, notice this in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. How can Moses have to suffer the reproach of Christ when he lived 1,500 years before Christ? How is that? Because Christ is eternal God, isn't it? You think about that. Now, you look up over around your head a bit. How Moses lived way before Christ. And about 1,500 years before Christ, and yet he had to suffer affliction with the people of God, and he had to suffer the reproach of Christ. But he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So Moses was able to turn his back on all those treasures in Egypt, and he turned his back on that, suffered affliction with the people of God who were despised by the Egyptians, hated by the Egyptians, they were considered abominable by the Egyptians, And he endured all that because of faith. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And Pharaoh had a lot of power, and yet he wasn't worried about that, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How? Through faith. As seeing him who is invisible. Now, that is a quite an important lesson on the power of faith. Now, let's move on. I have to move quickly. My third and final point. I hope I can get through this. We see how what faith is all about, definition of faith. We see that faith pleases God, and conversely, lack of faith displeases God. Thirdly, faith guides and directs believers. If you're saved today, your faith in Christ, your faith in the Word of God should be guiding you, directing you, leading you, motivating you if you're saved. Faith. Your walk should be a walk of faith. Your life should be a life of faith. That's what differentiates us from the ungodly. They're motivated by self. They're motivated by selfish desires. They're living for self. They're in the flesh. They're not living a life of faith. But if you're saved, your life should be a life of faith. Faith guides and directs believers. Harry Ironside said, in all these past ages, we see that faith was the controlling power that enables men to walk with God. So you say, listen, I can't walk from God. I can't live from God. It's too hard. Now, if you have faith, faithful lie you do. Read over and over again. Hebrews 11. By faith, by faith, by faith, through faith. Through faith you can do it. Just like Moses did, just like Noah did, just like Abraham did, just like Enoch did, you can do it. By faith. Faith is the controlling power that enables men to walk with God and triumph over the corrupting influence of their time. So things are corrupt in the days of Noah. Things are corrupt in the days of Moses. Things are corrupt in these days of Moses. Things are corrupt today. But through faith, we can walk with God and triumph over these corrupting influences, even today. Why did David Livingston go to Africa? Why? What would move David Livingston from the comfort of his home in Scotland to go all the way to Africa? And back in those days, there was no airplanes, there was no paved roads, there was all jungle and dangerous wild animals and heathen people that didn't know anything about God or the Bible. Why would he go there and preach the gospel? Faith. How about Hudson Taylor? What would make him go to China? Faith. Adoniram Judson, to go to Burma. Faith! What about C.T. Studd? He served God in China, India, and Africa. You think about his exploits. Amazing missionaries. How? By faith. They all were guided by faith. The faith guides and directs believers. They were guided by faith. They believed the Bible. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Hey, Livingston knew, I can't preach the gospel to every creature if I stay here in my comfortable home in Scotland. God's moving me to Africa. Hudson Taylor said, I know I can't reach the whole world here in England. I'm going to go to China. He was believing what God said. He was led by faith. Faith guides and directs believers. They believe God. Do you believe God? And if you really believe God, I'm going to say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Do you really believe God? I hope so. Have you ever wondered why some people believe in evolution and all these other cockamamie ideas, hand-laying ideas, like global warming, as they claim now? I have to likely can't understand how people believe that. Why they believe in evolution and global warming and all these silly ideas, while others seem to have it up to serve it and say, that's not that. That's foolish. I don't believe it. Why do some people believe these kind of sad things and popular kooky ideas and others don't? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith. By faith we can reject, for example, evolution. He'll tell me, well, do you have a degree in biology? I said, listen, I don't have a degree in biology. I've got a degree in the Bible. And then I know the Bible. You cannot reconcile the Bible with evolution. And the Bible is the Word of God. So I don't need to be a scientist to know evolution is a fairy tale of Noah. Amen? I don't have to believe in evolution. I believe the Bible. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, through faith we understand. We understand through faith. Faith gives us understanding. Faith gives us wisdom. Faith gives us discernment. Faith gives us good judgment. I read about a retired NASA engineer. His name is Tom Henderson. He's got a website if you want to check it out. Tom Henderson is a retired NASA engineer who now travels around the world teaching creationism. He has degrees in math, physics, and science education. He worked at the Johnson Space Center for 37 years. He's a man of faith. He believes the Bible. He believes God created this world. He doesn't believe we evolved from monkeys. He doesn't believe in evolution. Tom Henderson argues that societal decay, theological erosion, and moral bankruptcy will ensue if evolution is embraced. I'm quoting from Tom Henderson. The basis for all Christian doctrines is found in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. If it is not true, then what is our basis for morality? He's right. Tom Henderson also said that the evidence is he has found for creationism could remove barriers to faith. Again, I'm quoting Tom Henderson. For some people, evolution is a barrier to the good news of Jesus. They feel if evolution is true, Christianity can't be. And they're right. But if evolution is a myth, then they can take that step to faith.
He says evolution is hindering people from coming to Christ. Evolution is hindering people from believing the Bible. But if once it can be demonstrated that evolution is a myth, then that barrier can be removed, and then they can take that step to faith. In other words, evolution hinders faith, whereas the Bible strengthens our faith. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary has a lengthy section of the faith. One of the definitions is this: simple belief of the Scriptures. That's it. A simple belief. God said it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe what God said. In the beginning, God said heaven and the earth. I believe that. Now, I missed our Christian school. Every morning, the students would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, and then they said the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag, and then they pledge allegiance to the Bible. And they used to say, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. I believe that. That's a good pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. Now, I mentioned Tom Henderson has degrees in math, physics, and science education. He's worked at the Johnson Space Center for 37 years, and he believes the Bible is the Word of God. He has faith, and his faith has guided him as he travels around the world, and he teaches people how God created this world and that evolution is a lie. You know, I saw an interesting article on the internet. This is about 15 Christian families from a tiny community of only about 1,300 people up in Canada. They're making plans to leave their homes, their jobs, and leaving everything behind so their children will not be forced by the Canadian government to attend public schools where evolution is taught. I commend them for that. So they're willing to pack up and leave your home where you've lived for years and leave your job where you're making a good livelihood and have to pack up and relocate because you refuse to let your children be brainwashed in the public schools. A report in the Vancouver Sun said provincial officials have threatened the families with legal action, including the potential loss of their children to state control. Do you get that? They're threatening to take their children away from them. That's how wicked it's getting out there. Threatening to take their children from them if they do not abide by the mandatory education curriculum, which of course includes evolution. But leaders of these Christian families, by the way, they're Mennonites. They're not Baptists, they're Mennonites. Hey, some of these Mennonites put us Baptists to shame, ain't they?
Yeah.
Some of the Baptists say, okay, take my kids, kick the evolution, I don't care. The Mennonites say, no, we're taking a stand. So, some Baptists get pretty cocky, like, we're the only Christian, we're the best Christian, we're... There's other Christians and other denominations who put us to shame sometimes, including these Mennonites and Catholics. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I agree with all the Midnight Doctrine. Don't get me wrong. But this is commendable what they're doing. And what's good credit, what credit is doing. I'm not going to become a Midnight. Don't worry. I'm a Baptist. So it's going to be, well, we should be born a Baptist. I'd be ashamed. I'm a Baptist till the rapture. Amen? And then in heaven, I'll be a Baptist, too. And I'm a Baptist until I'm a Baptist since the day the Lord saved me, until the day the Lord calls me home. But these Mennonites are doing the right thing. They're going to leave Quebec before giving up their children to state indoctrination. You could say state brainwashing. And here's a quote. It's kind of sad because we enjoy the community, we have friends, and we have a good rapport with our neighbors, said Ronald Goosen, 56 years old, talking about his living in Roxton Falls, 75 miles east of Quebec. East of Montreal. But when they threaten to take our children and put them in foster homes, that's more than we can accept. Amen.
Can you imagine taking Christian kids out of a good Christian home and putting them in foster homes because they don't want their kids taught evolution? The Mennonites didn't use the government-mandated curriculum that includes the teaching of evolution. So they had their own school. Let me back up. The Mennonites established their own Christian school. Last year, 8 children were enrolled in grades 1 to 7, and this year, 11 students were expected. They're taught reading, writing, math, science, geography, social science, music. They're a very good curriculum. They're taught English and French, but they don't teach evolution. And other subjects to which the parents object, like sex education and so on. So the authorities warned the parents they would face legal proceedings if their children were not enrolled in what they call sanctioned schools, meaning, you know, government schools teaching evolution. So the 30 parents and children and families who would not, who would be endangered, will move immediately. And the rest of the group will follow shortly later. Officials said, in addition to the issue of the curriculum, the teacher at the Mennonite school was not certified. That's government nonsense, saying if you've got a private Christian school, you have to be certified by the government. That's unscriptural, unconstitutional, and wicked. We should not have to be certified by the government. To do that, we would have to send teachers to schools we don't want to send our children to, Luther said. Do you see it? We have to send our teachers to government schools to be taught things we don't agree with just to get their approval. What's the point of that? And we don't agree with their emphasis on education. I'm sorry, we don't agree with their emphasis on evolution, which we consider false, and we don't like the morality standards, and we don't like the acceptance of alternative lifestyles. You know what that is, right? Homosexuality. So they're trying to force our children to accept evolution, immorality, especially homosexuality. We cannot accept that. Town Mayor Jean-Marie LaPlante has written to government officials seeking a one-year reprieve. We want to keep these people here. They're part of our community. He told the newspaper, the mayor said losing the families would hurt both economically and socially, but government officials were adamant by saying we're not trying to prevent them from living their life the way they want, but they have to obey the law when it comes to educating their kids. So we see there's going to be this constant battle from the ungodly promoting evolution. Now, Tom Henderson doesn't believe in evolution. His faith has guided him, and our faith should guide and move us. And I wonder sometimes when I see Christian people who live like the world, think like the world, act like the world, I say, where's their faith? Where's their faith? Because I can't tell them apart from the unbelievers. Now, throughout history, faith has moved believers and directed them and motivated them. If you study the Bible and you study history, that's the way it's always been. By faith, Abraham started traveling, not knowing where he was going. Abraham packed up and went. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. God told him to move and follow him down, isn't it? Now, wouldn't the world think that's faith? If you would have packed up and the neighbor said, where are you going? I don't know, but God told me to move. Your neighbor's going to scratch his head and say, hey, I got faith, amen. God told me to move. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive from heaven, obeyed, and he went up, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing where he went. Abraham said, I don't know where I'm going, but God told me to go, I'm going. That's faith. By faith, Moses stood on the banks of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army right behind him and the Red Sea in front of him. Moses said this, I'm quoting from Exodus 14:13, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. That's faith. How do they know that? The Egyptians are right behind them, bringing them aside. He is fear not, you're not going to see him anymore. You're going to drown. How do you know that? By faith. By faith. Hebrews 11:27 says, Moses endured at seeing him who was invisible. Now I've been stressing today those words, seeing him who is invisible. What about that word endure? An enduring faith. Hey, what do I mean to increase our faith? Increase it in doing. Look with me for a moment. Luke 8:13. real quickly. Luke 8:13. They on the rock, or they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. There's joy there. There's emotionalism there. Happiness, joy. And these have no root. There's no root. Which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Why? There's no endurance. It's temporary. It's not saving faith, you see. Now, if you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, Hebrews 11, 27, it's by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. That's genuine faith. Moses kept on going on for the Lord. He didn't give up. How about Joshua? Joshua had faith. God told him and his soldiers and his priests to march around the walls of Jericho. Now think about that from a human point of view.
Just march around, mowing something.
How are we going to defeat people? The walls are going to come tumbling down. Now, humanly speaking, does that seem kind of silly? But not by faith. So the faith sees things that others can't see. Faith enables us to do things we normally couldn't do. So he marched around the walls of Jericho, and you know the rest of the story. He was one of the 30s, and by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down! Fell down! Faith gave David the courage to fight against Goliath, armed only with a slingshot. Some Christians wouldn't do that unless they had a shotgun, a machine gun, hand grenade, a tank. All David had was a slingshot! But he had faith! And faith better than a tank, better than a bazooka, better than a shotgun, isn't it? I don't have faith in all those things. Faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, had a weakness for made strong, waxed iron in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's by faith. Beloved, our faith rests in God's unchanging word. The Bible's the word of God. Now, let me just conclude with this. In the Bible, in the original Bible, there were no chapter and verse divisions. Now, we already started this morning with Hebrews 1:1. Just go back one verse. Hebrews 10:39. Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. Them that believe. Them that have faith. To the saving of the soul. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. See, there's no chapter divisions in the original Greek text. It goes right from Hebrews 10:39 right to Hebrews 1:1. Notice there are two choices here. Only two ways to go. There's those who draw back unto perdition. What's perdition? That's hell. There's those who draw back unto perdition of eternal damnation, and them that believe to the saving of the soul. Do you believe in the saving of the soul? I hope so. Only two ways to go, beloved. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth not is condemned already. But he that believeth on him is not condemned. Only two ways to go. Those who draw back to the to perdition, to hell, and those who go forward, who believe to the saving of the soul. Look what Jesus said in John 20 and verse 27. Jesus said, Be not faithless, but believe it.